me, bitch, nah, I don't complain. Just gotta flip the switch and you can go and obtain anything you want, anything you need. Your mind's got the key ingredient, it's belief. Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, 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 go. Hustle hard, hustle every single day. I'll be making moves till I'm buried in my grave. To the system, I don't wanna be a slave. I've been doing shit my way, or the highway. And in the driveway is a nice range. Cause I grind through the climb, I invite pain. You'll never hear me, bitch, nah, I don't complain. Just gotta flip the switch and you can go and obtain anything you want, anything you need. Your mind's got the key ingredient, it's belief. Better see with the negativity. Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even
hello, hello, everyone, and welcome again to another exciting edition of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. We don't have Josie tonight. Josie is off on assignment. Josie hopefully will be back with us next week. All right, we got a lot to talk about. The Saints getting Derek Carr, the whole John Morant situation. So let's go ahead and get into it. Let me bring my man 7-on-7. What's going on? How you doing?
Man, I'm so happy that it was announced today, Aaron Judge is going to be making his premiere for the San Francisco Giants at the New York Yankees on opening day. I can't wait to see it. Aaron Judge is one of the hottest prospects. The Giants are going to just light it up. I can't wait to see it.
Well, let's see what Dan has to say about that. Let's go ahead and bring him in. My man, Dan, what's up?
Aaron Judge is on fire. Aaron Judge is on fire. You've been following too much. That one. I forgot his name, but yeah, that you just taking his stories for what's the truth now?
Oh, John Heyman. I mean, of course, John Heyman. You know, he did it on Bob purpose. Nightingale.
The only reason we know who John Heyman is because he tweeted Aaron Judge to the Giants.
I followed him before that, but he was a decent follow for baseball news. But I mean,
normal people didn't know who he was. Seven.
He no, normal people. Yeah. Like, and right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think John Heyman and Truth is like what happens if you order Adam Schefter off of Wish.
Damn.
Yes.
Well, we got to bring Wish in this.
Wish's fault. And they're just selling a wholesale product at a great price.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Everybody shop Wish, our new sponsor. No,
telling people that bullshit. Have that shit be fake as hell.
That Lakers jersey on.
Use the special code Walmart and Trailer Parks to get free shipping
on your
first order over $150.
Hell
you actually can charge more shipping.
Send me a screenshot of you ordering $150 from Wish, because I want to see what all you get.
If you order $150 of fake shit from Wish, you deserve free shipping to handling.
I feel like you could order like a shed. Like you could order a shed for $150 on there, and it would just come from like seven different locations, and it would be a shed technically, but it would take
like 3.5 months to get everything.
There's just like missing parts of it, like whole missing windows and stuff.
Hell
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. And I got a shed, but
oh my gosh. Well, we got a lot to talk about. I'm gonna go ahead and get started with the huddle. Let's go ahead and do this, y'all. New Orleans Saints signed free agent quarterback Derek Carr to a 4-year, $150 million deal. What $100 million put in guarantees. Oh my goodness. The one thing that I find kind of funny, Derek gives you a good floor. He gives you a great floor. But what he doesn't give you, and mark the tape right now, it is what? 10:07 p.m. on 3/6/23. I don't think he takes the Saints to the promised land. I don't think he does. He gives you a great floor. Do not get me wrong. But unlike you might be being able to go into the draft and hit on a much younger guy on a rookie scale and have a high ceiling, instead you swap that for a high floor. And that's what I don't like about this deal. Is he the best quarterback out there? Of course. Of course he is. Is he going to a good situation? You can say, depending on what the rest of the teams do, you can say yes. He never had a top 10 defense behind him. He'll have that this coming year.
Yeah.
So he'll have that behind him. He's got some familiarity with the coach because that's the coach that pretty much drafted him. But I just think that he gives you that high ceiling, but not the floor. I mean, yeah, he gives you that floor, but not the ceiling. And that's the thing that makes me, kind of call for pause on this.
I hear what you're saying, but Derek Carr is, I think he's a poor man's Matt Stafford. He's been stuck in a situation where he didn't have the tools that he should have as the quality caliber. His floor is still above Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
With a proper supporting
cast. Yeah.
Proper. But I get what you're saying about the fact that you don't think he takes you to the promised land. But I do think he gives you a chance. You can win that division.
Yes.
With Derek Carr at quarterback. I think if you're a smart Saints team, you find out if Derrick Henry is a good enough, is a cheap enough cost. Because I think that he would be, having a solid run game would really help not have to rely on Derek Carr as much. So I don't know if Derrick Henry's not there. Just make sure you shore up your run game.
Yes.
Shore up your run game, but utilize, but make sure you're scheming to Derek Carr's strengths.
Right.
And you guys should at least win your division. I would say you'll see the playoffs and Super Bowl. Nah, probably not. No. But you could be a playoff team.
Yeah. It's going to be that little feel good thing. This signing, I think, makes the fans feel good to a certain extent. Yeah, we got this dude. We're going to go. We can win the division, particularly if they sign Leonard Fournette. We can win the division. Yay. We can maybe get a first round playoff game, but that's as far as it's going to go.
Shoring up the run game, like how much further than Alvin Kamara though? Because he's a pretty freaking good running back.
No, need to shore it up on defense. They finished like 22nd in rushing last year. They need to fix it on defense.
Oh, on defense. Okay.
Yeah, and Alvin Kamara might be, he might be in some trouble with that thing that would happen in Vegas when he beat that dude's ass.
Right. That's like gonna threaten the season, you think?
It's gonna be 8 games. Hopefully. And hopefully he'll come up with it. Hopefully he'll come out with it. He'll settle with the dude. And he'll miss the first 8 games. We need somebody out there. I know Leonard Fournette's possible. We just found out today Derrick Henry is possible. So hopefully.
If you don't go Derrick Henry, if you do go Derrick Henry, that's the best run game in the NFL if you get Alvin Kamara back. I mean, right? That's those two on it because plus Kamara catches the ball out of the backfield. Not that Derrick Henry can't, because Derrick Henry can too, but like Kamara would be a great third down, second down, middle of the, passing down option. Yep. On top of having Derrick Henry would be freaking ridiculous. I mean, at that point, I see them like that's NFC title game stuff because you can just slow it down. When you have a great defense. When you're on offense, you just fucking pound Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry back and forth, and Derek Carr passes off play action. Yep. That's your best shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your best shot at any of it. Fournette would be awesome. Obviously not the smack in the face move that Derrick Henry would be, like, as far as like, hey, this is what we're going to do and you're not going to be able to stop it.
Right.
I like that. I think that's the best route for them to go, honestly, is to go with the just, you can't stop us basically on the ground because.
And that also gives you the advantage defensively. And the reason why I say that is because if they're just running it down your throat, whether it's Kamara and Derrick Henry, which would be obviously the, you know, the best situation, but even with Leonard Fournette, you just run it down their throats, but you utilize his game management skills. So knows when he needs to check out of the run and just dump it off on a check down. He'll get you a couple of good accurate deep balls a game too, just for the highlight reels. But ultimately just run it down the throat, 'cause then your defense gets all that time to rest.
Yep.
And it forces the other team to have to throw the ball more, which when you look at, especially in your division, no team is going to have the same quarterback starting next year that they did in 2022. And so that puts more pressure on your division opponents when you have a more solid offense that you can produce. And that's the great thing about him being in that division is really anybody's for the taking.
Yep.
It's not, I mean, obviously the AFC, you know, most of the AFC is going to have to go through Kansas City. he's in the NFC now. His competition, and that's why I think he picked the Saints, is because he has so much less competition now in his division alone.
Yep.
Not just the fact that the QB, the NFC wise, in the NFC, they are more QB deficient than the AFC. So that puts him in a better slot than where he was in the NFC, where he kind of disappears into mediocrity because of all of the competition that he faces.
Right.
You're seeing Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert twice a year. You're seeing Josh Allen every year to every other year. You're seeing Joe Burrow every year to every other year.
Yep.
But when he goes to the NFC now,
Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray.
Exactly. And Kyler Murray, you don't know what you're going to get out of him because of the fact that Arizona made some horrible choices with coaching yet again.
Yep.
So Derek Carr is in a prime position, and I don't blame him for picking the Saints. They need to shore up that run game, and they need to make sure that defense can be top 10. And that is that's at least a home playoff game. Possibly maybe go into an NFC title game every few years because you get in the right groove in the playoffs.
Like playing in warm weather and a dome.
Why not?
You could say that we've never before met a guy like Leonard. No? Okay. Hey, can we also comment on, Will, how much more money are you making than us on the Sports Report? Because that house that is behind you is ridiculous.
Oh, this house is great. It's fantastic. Oh, my goodness.
You have a baby grand.
This is my palatial estates in Atlanta. And, you know, it's just fantastic. I love coming here, man. It's great. It's fantastic.
Does that mean you're squatting? That means you're squatting. Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I am.
He broke into somebody's house.
Yeah.
Because he's entertaining an Asian chick after, and she doesn't want her to know that he lives where he does.
She can't know where I live. So
she can't know.
She can't.
It's going to be tough come June when the family that really lives there comes in.
Listen.
Like, yeah, I'm just taking them on extra rent.
Listen, you know, hey. Listen, you know, you got to give them the fake phone number. You got to give them the fake address. You know, got to protect yourself a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. You have to build yourself up before crashing it down to the ground.
Yeah. Build yourself up, everything. And, you know, I think this was your house. No.
Of course it wasn't. I didn't tell you that.
I never said that.
We slept here a bunch of nights.
We slept here a bunch of times. That's how it was.
Somebody else's. That's all it was.
That's what you hit with before you break up with it. You breaking up with me? You know what this was. You know what this was.
Girls don't like boys. Girls like cars and money. Well,
so, man, we got to talk about the combine too.
Oh, you were talking about that in the chat.
Man. Yeah. Okay. So Anthony Richardson and that fucking 40 and a half inch vertical. That is ridiculous.
Apparently,
if he's still there in the third round, I love the Saints to get him. If he's still there in the third, which I don't think he will be.
He'll be gone in the second round.
Second round.
He's definitely got himself up from the third round though, because I think it was probably third or fourth round before that.
Absolutely. Anthony Richardson is going to be one of those players where the combine helped his draft stock. But I think that a lot of it's going to come down to how GMs feel about tape, because it's, I mean, we've all talked, we talked about this multiple times on this show. Dan and I have talked about it on After Dark. The combine is a great practice, but if you solely judge a player based on his combine numbers, you're going to draft wrong. As it has happened so many times.
Tony Mangrich part two.
You gotta, you know, and also combine and draft combine and pro day stuff wise, Patrick Mahomes didn't look that good. There was a lot of analysts that were completely out on Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
But Brett Veach was in on Patrick Mahomes because of his tape.
Right.
And so, I mean, if Anthony Richardson's going to go in the first or second round, it's going to be because of tape.
Right.
And it's, well, his tape's not particularly impressive for most of the time. I mean, he only had it was 1 year at Florida, wasn't it? There's only 1 year of tape at Florida. He only started for a year, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't particularly great, I don't think. He's going to benefit more just from doing like the actual combine stuff. And apparently he's been the best in interviews and stuff where they just go, hey, you know, here's this pro style set. Like, what would you do as far as like, if we did this play or if right. they were running this defense, he's been mm-hmm. he knows football better than a lot of them. Basically it's him and Bryce Young apparently on top of that whole thing. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes was like that scary impressive in that part of the combine. If I recall, like he probably wasn't, because
he even talked about the fact that he didn't even know what a nickel defense was until he got into the pros. He didn't learn how to read a defense until he got into the pros.
Right. There's that famous Brett Favre video where he figures out on the sideline of the Atlanta game, I think from Gus Frerotte or something, that what a nickel defense is. He's like, yeah, what's nickel? He's like, they always say nickel. And he's like, you seriously don't know what nickel defense is? Five defensive backs.
People forget Brett started his career as a Falcon.
Yep.
Absolutely. And he had a little bit of a Vicodin problem.
Yep.
He had a bit of a Vicodin whiskey problem.
Yep. He also had a problem with sending dick pics to staffers. Oh, no,
this is early where he would just pull it out like while before the phone thing, he was just pulled out like while they were there.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
And then
yes or no. Yes or no.
Excuse me here while I whip this out.
It's fucked up.
There were two DBs, because I was lucky enough to actually watch the DBs do their 40 times. And there were two DBs that stood out. Ja'Corian Bennett, a DB from Maryland.
Mm. Yeah.
He actually had for most of the 40, when the DBs were running the 40, he was like the second one to do his. And his first time was a 4.31.
Damn.
But that's wide receiver number. And then a little while later, DJ Turner did 4.27.
Mm. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's wide receiver speed.
Mm.
Slot receiver.
No, speed, you're right.
But a DB.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a tight end. That's somebody that can do like keeping up with Travis Kelce and keeping him actually more in a blanket, more covered than what you traditionally see out of both of those players. And realistically, it's a DB that's going to be on Kelce or Kittle or somebody in his position.
Right.
So
healthy Mark Andrews.
Yeah, that's those are some good numbers.
Kind of confuses why you're shocked though that they're as fast as wide receivers, because they're faster than wide receivers usually, because they're the guys chasing the wide receivers, therefore they have
like a lot of the other times that I was seeing were up in like 4.44, 4.5, 4.6. That's fast. Which is still stupid fast and still can keep up with some wide receivers.
Right.
But what I'm saying is like the 4.27 and the 4.31, you don't see a lot of DBs that fast. That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Not as many as wide receivers, I guess, is what you're saying.
Right. And that's.
And yeah. Go ahead.
Let's say that's two quick DB options. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them get picked up by AFC teams because of how much speed we see with their AFC wide receivers.
The Bennett dude gets a lot of shit.
Go ahead.
Because he plays in the Big Ten with like the bottom of the Big Ten,
Right.
With sorry, it's ACC. Maryland's in the ACC. I think, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maryland's in the ACC. Yeah.
Competition wise, he just didn't like, it's like being from Nebraska at this point. You know, like they're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I kind of played a shitty college program. So he didn't get a whole lot of like national attention because he's playing. But then they come here and they're like, okay, this guy did what now? Like, we didn't watch any of his games last year because he plays for Maryland. But, you know, they could obviously see that he was like, my question to you, Seven, though, with the speed thing is like, would you rather have a DB that runs a 4.5 but can move his hips and turn and cut on a dime and is quicker in like a short space? Or would you rather have a guy that can just go full like 40-yard dash, you know, long distance speed, not long distance, but you get what I'm saying, like sprint speed,
right,
and not move his hips as well and be good in small areas?
Well, I think that being able to, I think the cut and the hip movement is definitely important. And I think that's why you see these guys that run a 4.5, 4.6. There was a guy that ran a 5.4 that's still probably going to get drafted in the third round. Because
like a 4.6, I think 4.7.
But you get these, you know, that ability to cut is important.
Yep.
Because you've got to know when to plant your feet and fucking change direction. But if you don't have the ability to get that speed burst coming out of that break, which is where it's really going to matter and where a lot of DBs, corners, and safeties get cooked, is out of that break and out of that cut. If these guys can master that part, the cut, they're invaluable to a defense because of that.
Right. And obviously their attitude towards it, because you just get, it's one of the only positions where you just basically get torched the entire time. Like you lose every single matchup that you have. But like when you win, it's a big deal. Cause you're obviously like, you're getting, you know, the ball's getting thrown in your direction. Like you're winning. It's so hard to do at that point that like when you win, just who wins a little bit more than the other guy? Do you know what I'm saying? Like when the ball comes to it, who goes and ball hawks it and who goes and wins? And who doesn't get discouraged by getting burnt? Cause you're gonna get burnt all the time.
Oh yeah.
Almost every single play.
You gotta have a quick memory too.
Yep. You gotta have a short memory. And I think that's one of the things. Cause like we make fun of Dan Sorensen in Eli Apple, but the offense has, you know, like your wide receivers, your tight ends, your running backs, they have a distinct advantage because they know where they're going.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
Yep. So you're reacting. So what's your reaction time? Basically is how, right, what should be judged here, and how, and on the field speed is wholly different than like Dan Campbell was saying, like, yeah, these guys look great in pajamas, but we also do a lot of film work because that's when they were actually in the game. Like, you know, are they track stars or are they football players?
And let's also don't forget technique, like Dan was talking about, fluid hips. And the easiest thing in the world, watching the receiver as they move their head to catch the football, and you get your head around too. Yep. There's a lot of corners out there that don't do that. They don't get their head or don't even look.
And that's what draws PIs and stuff. That awareness is so damn crucial in a DB, corner, or a safety.
Yep.
Because without it, you're fucked. That's what makes a difference between a solid DB and a shitty one.
Yep.
Is awareness. Because if you aren't, you're gonna get a lot of PIs, and that's gonna really, really, really fuck your team.
Yep.
And a lot of guys trying to catch the ball too, instead of just knock it down. Like just knock it away. Don't try and catch it, because then, I mean, you're going to be able to knock something away a lot easier than you're going to be able to actually extend and catch it. So like those little fingertips getting in, and just that little bit of fingertip is the difference between you trying to catch the ball because you have your arm further in, and just fucking get a hand on it, dude. Because like if you get a hand on the last 6 inches, that's going to be really hard for that wide receiver to catch, right? Yeah. And then these dudes with their like good luck with these fucking NFL wide receivers too, because Randy Moss kind of started a little bit, but like, they just don't put their hands up until the last second either. Like they'll be watching the ball and they don't get their hands up until it's right before. So like these guys have no idea if it's coming or not. Like, yeah, he's got his head around, but like he's got to turn his head around to see if the ball's being thrown to him, period. Right. So the really important thing is to see the hands come out and get your hands inside the hand, and don't try and catch the ball, because just tip it. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like it's going to be almost just as good, and if on a one-on-one matchup sense, as you catching the ball, because it's like, you just, you know, they're not gonna be able to catch it if you tip it at all, really. I mean,
if you have five pass breakups a game and you only get like five picks on the year, guess what? You're still gonna be in line for DPOY. because if you have five pass breakups a game, that's I mean 17 games, that's fucking a lot.
A lot. Yeah,
that's a lot. Record, I believe. Yeah, that would set a record. So it's focus on ending the play, because especially a lot of time in you know, the later you go in that series, it's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you got more of a chance to just get it to where you guys are going to be taking it from a punt. You're going to have more control over where you're going to be on the field. And that's honestly better. Like, unless it's a gimme, just knock it down.
Yeah.
If you're getting five pass breakups a game too, by week four, they ain't throwing your way to get five pass breakups anymore. They just won't even throw at you. It'll be like, yeah, you get maybe one or two chances a game to even play the ball, because you're just getting not. I mean, Revis Island over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner.
Love that fucking name. One of the best names in sports. I'm like sauce, baby.
He was there for a little bit during the combine when they were doing the 40s, the DB 40s, actually. And he looked – it's interesting that his name is Sauce, because he was in this orange outfit that made me think of mac and cheese.
Right.
So I just kind of want to start calling him Cheese Sauce.
Cheese Sauce, yeah.
Cheese Sauce Gardner. But talented fucking player. Like, don't get me wrong.
Still be all over you.
Disrespecting him.
He can still be all over you, Cheese Sauce Gardner. I put cheese sauce on everything.
Call him Canadians will call him Kraft Dinner.
They'll call him maple syrup. Maple syrup Gardner. I'm like syrup Gardner. I get on you, but I got him slower. I'll be all over you, but after the play's over, go ahead.
Kansas City announced today that they are going to be releasing Frank Clark. Could not come to a contract agreement. So it looks like, looks like
Frank Clark's,
go ahead.
Yeah. Frank Clark wanted, Brian Urlacher money, probably. Like, you know, he wanted that kind of money.
He wanted to be up there, like around the first and second paid in for his position.
He deserves it.
But it's going to be on a team that's not a contender that's going to have that kind of money. Unless somebody that is just in a perfect situation like Chicago, because they have a lot of money to burn, especially since it looks like they're sticking with Justin Fields. They've got plenty of room in their cap that they could sign him and pay him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that gives a boost to their defense and could potentially put them in the way of being at least a division contender. But
what does he mean for the Chiefs losing him, though? Because, I mean, not much. As far as they draft pretty well, they're going to draft a guy that just fills in his position, basically. Like, I don't think that they need him that badly. Like, he was asking for this much money, and it's like, it was a need issue with the Chiefs, I think, more than it was like a we don't want to pay you thing. I think it was like, I don't think that we actually need you to, like, you know, because they play a lot of bend don't break defense. Let's be honest.
Yep.
Like, they play a lot of bend don't break. And Frank Clark's really not, he's a great pass rusher, plays the pass well. So, like, that's the thing about him is, like, they're bend don't break. So they're going to play a lot of the pass. They need a guy who's athletic in the middle and a great pass rusher, because you have long third downs and stuff like that. So do they need him? No.
But I kind of wonder if they're not going to be switching it up for somebody that's going to be more run-centric because of the struggles that Kansas City has stopping the run.
Right.
And that's the thing is he's great. Frank Clark is great on the pass rush, like you said, but his numbers on the run are not good.
Did he play on one of the running downs, though? Like, he played every down, basically, right? Like, they were just basically saying, like, hey, you can play the run and you'll play the pass. That's
He was in for most of the snaps. And I think that's the issue for me. And that's really the issue for me is, like, because, like, I love Frank Clark. I think that he was integral in our second Super Bowl. Integral in our first one.
Was he on the team?
I think he was. Yeah, I think he came the year that we got the first Super Bowl.
Okay. I thought it was like a year after that, but
maybe I'm wrong.
He's got a ring, though.
Yeah, he was integral in this most recent ring. And I have nothing but respect for him, but he wants to get paid for his success.
Can't blame him for that.
And can't blame him for that, but Kansas City doesn't need him. Like Dan said, I think that's an accurate statement. I think that Kansas City has different things in mind, and I'm here for it.
All right.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right.
Real quick before we switch over to the hardwood, talk about Ja Morant. Real quick, want to go over these XFL scores. The Seattle Sea Dragons beat the Vegas Vipers 30-26. The DC Defenders defeat the St. Louis Battlehawks 34-28. The Arlington Renegades defeat the Orlando Guardians 10-9. The Houston Roughnecks beat the San Antonio Brahmas 22-13. And that is it for the XFL scores. All right. Now we are going to move over and talk some basketball. My man from the hardwood, Dan the Dick, you see him right there. We'll be talking about that in just one moment. I just want to say one thing real quick before you go, Dan. Ja Morant, you're an idiot. Ja Morant's dad, you're an even bigger idiot. I know Ja is no longer quote unquote a kid, but he's still a young man and he needs guidance. He doesn't need to be in this situation where he's trying to be some fake thug. He's not a thug. He's not that dude. Everybody sees it. And for you to condone this behavior, is this shameful on your part as this guy's father?
But come on, dad to dad. Do you really think his dad is okay with this behavior?
His dad really shouldn't be. His dad shouldn't be, but I haven't seen anything to the contrary that he's come out and said anything publicly that he was okay, that he was not okay with it. This is my concern. He has so many enablers that's around him right now, and that's no good for him. No good for him.
This and you're right. And Dan and I have been in talking with the talking with Dan on After Dark about this. You know, and any situation that is similar to this, it is clear that there are individuals around Ja that are enabling the behavior. No question about that. But we have to move past the idea that there aren't people trying to talk sense into him, because you can't tell me his manager hasn't been saying, dude, fucking stop.
Yeah. Somebody's going to have
to. The manager at least is, he has a vested interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that we haven't seen anything publicly about Team Morant saying that he's been trying to talk some sense into Ja. But that could be just because he's focusing on trying to get his son's head out of his ass.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was my son, I would be focused on trying to get him right.
Right.
I don't give a fuck what's going on online.
Right.
Because my priority is my child.
Right.
So I would bet that's probably why he hasn't really said much of anything.
He really hasn't.
I think he's been focused on helping his son, but yeah. I also think that it's good that he's voluntarily taking time away,
because yes.
the yes. NBA is not going to yes. let this go. He's going to get 50 plus.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He should definitely, they should probably just do it the rest of this year.
He took that gun on a plane. You can't do that.
Right. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff starts coming out after the fact. Like, it seems like a lot of it was like a snowball effect. Like, it was like, oh, well, yeah, and there was this thing. Oh, yeah, and there was like this thing that he did.
Right.
And like, it's like, oh boy, like they. So this was kind of under the surface the whole time. Yeah, right. It was just under the surface. He was doing this kind of stuff like the whole time, and it does. Like, Will, I totally understand what you're saying. Like, it doesn't seem like his dad has blatantly come out, but like at this point, hopefully. Whatever he's taking the break for will be like, oh shit. Like, right. Hey, maybe I need to stop being an idiot. Like,
right.
Yes. Like, so if it happens like that and then nothing happens long-term to his career, that's honestly best situation. Like if he misses the rest of this year and then than 50, even 50 games, worst case scenario of the beginning of next year, at least he won't be missing the rest of his career because he shot somebody in the leg at a nightclub, because that's where this story is going. It's going to pulls a gun, mall security, beats the shit out of a 17-year-old because he, you know, I don't know, offended him or something. And then next step, you shot somebody at a nightclub. That's pretty much how this goes.
Oh yeah.
And so hopefully the time away is actually like, I'd rather not watch Ja Morant for another calendar year, love watching me some fucking Ja Morant. Don't get me wrong. That dude is on the floor. On the floor is one of the most polarizing individuals you will ever see play basketball.
Absolutely.
It's really just about a spontaneous, like the spontaneousness that exists in him, like potentially on every single play, is really exciting to watch. Honestly, like when he has the ball, you're like, all right, is this dude going to jump from like the fourth block? And you know what I'm saying? Like and get his head over the rim and be looking down at it and dunk it or whatever he does in the air. Cause he has that really unique mindset where he just goes up, has no idea what he's doing. Because like, all right, I'm just gonna jump from right here and figure it out here. Like that's the ability to do that is fucking awesome. And it's very rare. So like him on the floor, I'd rather see him, you know, the rest of his career than see what we got left of this year. And then he shoots somebody at a nightclub. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah. No. And I completely agree. I support the NBA stepping in, and I want to say that because the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for the NBA intervening, handling things in this manner, we all have to remember taking a firearm onto a flight puts you into the jurisdiction of federal charges when you're not following the law. Federal charges. Homie could go to big boy jail.
Yeah.
Because that is not fucked with. Weapons on airplanes, that is a very dangerous thing. The NBA is very lucky that their players don't get checked, don't have to go have their bags go through security when they fly on that plane. Because a lot of those guys would get in trouble because you can't take weed on a plane.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a federal
crime too, which again, it's stupid. I'm a cannabis user. I think it's dumb, but it's the rules. It is the rules. And
was this on a commercial flight? They're talking about a commercial flight. They're not talking about their private jets. Like the ones they take to games.
Yeah.
They're talking about the private ones they take to games.
Yeah. He had a on a team plane.
That's way less than having it on like a commercial flight if you're in first class though, too, right?
I mean, but the thing of it is, first of all, it can still be considered a federal offense.
Mm.
Secondly, it's a violation of NBA rules. You cannot, NBA players cannot have a firearm at any NBA facility, whether it's the practice facility, arenas, team planes, any of that. They cannot have a firearm. So the NBA is going to come down on him for that, just that.
Yes.
And so it's going to be, and that's the thing. Yeah, his year is over.
Here's why I feel like it's like better. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, I feel like it's better that they did that. Like you said, the NBA stepped in. I feel like I like the NBA stepping in, which we're usually not about any ownership or anything stepping in, right? Like we're like, okay, well, maybe we just hit. But in this situation, I feel like it's not the NBA doing it because of their profit or what people are gonna think about what Ja Morant did or whatever. Anything. I think they're really doing it for Ja Morant's like good. And yes, absolutely. On the end of it, is it absolutely in the NBA's interest to keep Ja Morant around as a player in the NBA? Yes, it definitely is. But I feel like it's also important to Ja's life that they do this. And you know what I'm saying? Like to him as a person. And I feel like they are doing it a little bit because of that. And that's like why I'm okay with it. So I feel like it is for him a lot.
Just and just like you and I have talked about on After Dark, professional sports teams have a vested interest in the whole care of their player, not just the physical health, but also the mental health. Because when you don't prioritize the mental health, we end up with situations that we've, all the many situations that we've talked about. Javon Belcher, you and I have, referenced that situation countless times. How far is Ja away from snapping? Like, is this, he mentioned in his apology, he mentioned that one of the things he needs to get help with is for how he deals with stress. Okay. So if that's what this is, you know, he's super stressed out. He's worried. You know, maybe he felt like somebody was after him. There's some paranoia there that can happen as a stress trigger.
Especially when you're famous.
I mean, completely possible and understandable.
In Memphis, Tennessee.
A black guy in Memphis, like not the worst place in the world, but certainly better places to be. And you know, he's cracking under the pressure. And here's what I don't get. And this is where I start to wonder where this is all coming from. Because like we talked about how he grew up two-parent household in the suburbs, private schools, right? Okay. So, and Will, I'm going to kick this to you. And if this comes off in any way offensive or derogatory, please understand that it's not my intention. But my question to you is it possible that there are things influencing Ja because he feels like he has more to do to conform to what is expected of him as a black man?
Possibly. Definitely possibly. Because you're in a different stratosphere at that point. You have more money than the average black man. But because you are in that spot, it's a lot more pressure because you have NBA pressures, you have family pressures, you have a lot you have to deal with. I don't know if you might need additional help or something like that, but being the face of the team doesn't help you either. So he's got a lot going on right now, a whole lot. And that's why I said it for his father to step up to the plate and try to help him alleviate this stuff and get counseling. So men in general, not just black men, but men in general, don't do that. We're too proud to go get help. We're too proud to go get counseling, and we shouldn't be like that. We should be say, look, I have a problem. I need to fix it. And whoever your significant other is, I need you to support me.
Well, I'm gonna phrase Tony's question just a little bit differently too, and say that do you think that because he went to the private schools and because he had a, do you think he feels like he owes something to the rest of the black people? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, do you feel like he feels like he owes something because he knows that they didn't grow up in a situation like he did mostly. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
I don't think he feels he owns it, but at the same point, this lifestyle he's trying to lead intrigues him. I think.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand the full severity of it. He doesn't understand the whole scope.
He's a 23-year-old kid that is the face of a billion-dollar franchise. Yep. One of the faces of a $100-200 billion enterprise in the NBA.
And don't forget, Powerade signed him to be their spokesperson. They hadn't done anything like that in 9 years.
When Nike dropped Kyrie, they signed him for the next signature shoe. Okay? That's a lot of pressure on a kid that's 23 years old. And I hope that and I hope that Memphis as an organization recognizes this.
Right.
Because you don't see, but like, let's look at this logically. Devin Booker, when he became one of the faces in the NBA, obviously, I think John Morant is in a slightly higher up stratosphere, respectfully, I think he is. But when Devin Booker became one of the faces of the Suns franchise and somebody that was actually talked about actively on SportsCenter, because he plays with Chris Paul, he sought training from Diana Taurasi on how to be an even better player to better run his position.
Right.
I think that despite Robert Sarver owning the Suns, I think that the Suns have better support for their players and a better culture built in. I hope that Memphis takes a look at this and make sure that their players do have the mental health support that they have or that they need, and that the culture in Memphis can be changed to where Ja doesn't have to question if he can get help for the stress of being right. in his position. Right. He knows that it's there. He knows that his teammates are going to support him.
Right.
I think that that culture, and we've talked about this on AD, culture makes a huge difference in a team, and I think that that's one of the things that could severely influence Ja and how he returns
absolutely
probably next year.
Yep.
And is able to take over his role again as one of the leading faces in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Devin Booker also had the added advantage of not of having a franchise that would could move slowly with him because they were unsuccessful. They were bad. They were bad for his first 4 years. Like, was bad. They were the laughingstock of the NBA for his first couple of years. And so he got to learn how to be a pro while he's not. Yes, he's in the spotlight, and yes, he's still in the NBA, and he's a starting shooting guard in the NBA. But they didn't have success. There was no the pressure didn't seem like it was like, hey, I'm always fighting from, you know, like we're always right. underdogs, Devin Booker style. Like we're always underdogs, you know. It's easy to look up when you're at the bottom, right?
Right.
When Ja Morant started at the top, there's only down for him to go with that. But, you know, it's like and they were yep. so successful, and it's like there's no way that like without just going straight, you know, Derek Jeter, one of those guys, it just being the excellence of everything, which is probably wasn't what Ja wanted to do ultimately. But he got kind of sprung into it pretty quickly. I mean, he was already as a rookie. It was like, oh shit. Yeah. Got it. Like it was him and Zion.
I see.
And that was the top of that rookie class. It was like, yeah, it was like, okay. So immediate success. He's obviously really good when he first steps in. So was Devin Booker. Devin Booker just didn't have any team around him, nor
he didn't have any support.
Was his ownership making an attempt at that at all?
Right.
Yeah. I agree.
So
because it wasn't until they brought Chris Paul in that the Suns even started to move towards relevancy. And then they went 8-0 in the bubble and everybody went, oh shit, the Suns have something going. Yep. And the next season, the Suns started to pop off. So there is some differences between Devin Booker and Ja Morant. And I acknowledge that, but they're also the culture there is a different because even when they started winning in Phoenix and Devin Booker became even more prominent in the NBA world, you know, started dating a Kardashian, if I remember correctly.
Why did he do that?
It's all right. Well, he got away.
He did get away.
There's many who escaped
with his penis and without a coke addiction.
And that's saying a lot because not many that fall into the Kardashian, what I would like to call the Kardashian sinkhole. When they fall in, it's like quicksand, buddy. It's like quicksand. When you get your head underneath that quicksand, there ain't anybody on the other side to pull you out.
Ask Lamar Odom.
Ask Kanye. Ask that Kanye. Scott guy that wasn't famous. Pretty sure he blew his brains out. That Scott guy is really the guy we need to be looking at here. All right. That guy wasn't famous. He was still dealing with that shit.
But for me, wrapping up on Ja, for me, I want to see him get the help he needs. And I want to see him return successfully and make a positive impact. But I hope that we can, as a community of NBA fans, take this opportunity to remember that mental health and self-care are important because people having a breakdown because they're struggling to control themselves could look like what Ja Morant is dealing with, or some people that harm themselves do practice self-harming. That there are different ways you can self-harm. It's not just about physical things. It can also be that there are other ways that you can self-harm. And I think it's important that we start to recognize that more and expand the conversation on the importance of mental health, so that individuals that are starting to crack like Ja or Javon Belcher or Kanye or Lamar Odom can know that they have the support they need to get back on the right track and that nobody's going to judge them for making the choice to take those steps.
But that's tough too, because like I say, with the way the media is, if anything out there gets out there like that about an athlete or even an actor or some type of an entertainer, it's some sort of stigma to it. And again, it shouldn't be. Men should not be looked at being weak because we're in a bad spot from time to time, but we need mental health to get through it. We shouldn't be looked at like that. We should be, if anything, praised for going to get help with what our issues. Because a lot of men don't do that. And if you got the few that do, those men should be praised.
It's, you're 100% correct. You know, and I think that you know, men, we see, you know, and we talk a lot about this because we are men, but, you know, we see this supreme pressure to always be upright, always be okay, calm, cooled, collected, good to
rock.
You know, the rock. Exactly. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is it's almost very rarely ever actually like that. And you know, when you're only seeing small snippets, you're going to make certain judgments. But we don't get judged for taking care of our physical selves by going to the gym and eating right. Nobody, regardless of gender, should be judged for getting help with their mental health, because that is just like taking care of your body. That is just like going to the doctor because you're sick. You break your hand, you go get a cast put on it. Those are pieces of physical trauma. Mental trauma needs to be treated with the same compassion the physical trauma is. Exactly. And when we change that in our culture, suicide numbers will plummet overnight. But we have to change our mentality in our culture for mental health in order for this change to really set in. And I would love for Ja Morant to come out of this as an example and speaking openly about mental health as a way to inspire others to focus on that themselves.
Well said.
Can I also my last thing on Ja is, I'm gonna give him some credit here, Tony, because as a man who has a line shaved in his eyebrow, I think that it's really important to understand the mental effects of having a line shaved down the middle of your eyebrow, and the way that it affects you psychologically. Mine is natural, okay? So I've been naturally became a badass. It looks like jaws are double not natural. So he's, you know, in that way, really, just for all of the guys with line shaved in their eyebrows, he's really fucking up for us. So I mean, at the same time, you know, if I ever go double line shaved in the eyebrow, it's definitely going to be, you guys need to take notice, okay? Because that means that I'm going down the path.
Good Lord.
Well,
Ja's got the double doubles. He's got the 1-2 on both sides.
Yep.
And mine's just natural because hair doesn't grow there. So it just looks kind of cool.
I'll hold you accountable to this. If you do that, if I ever catch you doing that, you have to buy me the Patty Mahomes 1 signature shoe.
Oh well,
yeah, duh. I mean, it's already on the way. But yeah, see, that's not, I didn't shave that in there, guys. I didn't shave that in there, okay? It's got to be natural, Jaw. You can't just be shaving that shit in there. He shaves his in there, clearly, all right? That's what I'm just saying. He's a poser.
It's clear.
Not have the natural. I got hit in the face with a beer bottle to get this, all right, Jaw? What did you get hit in the face with, huh? Nothing. An electric razor, it looks like.
All right, guys, we are heading over. Give me a second. Get my good mouth. Here we go.
Did you want to talk about those UFC fights this weekend?
We can. There was only one that interested me, though. The main event. That was the one that interested me.
Well, I was just saying, do you think it makes him the GOAT? You think he's officially the GOAT now?
I think so.
Bonesy?
Who's better?
Bonesy?
I honestly, are we saying in his class or are we saying in general?
In general.
Overall. Yeah.
Overall in general.
In the history, I mean, Anderson Silva for me makes a case only because, like, just I watched him on the court and I was like, okay, or not on the court, I'm in the octagon. And I was like, holy shit, that guy's like a whole different thing, right? Like, he looked different than other dudes for me. But as far as like titles and shit go, you really can't even argue it, can you? I mean,
titles wise, no, you can't argue it. But when, as far as watching a fighter, I fucking loved watching GSP go, man. He was so amazing to watch in the octagon. And don't get me wrong, I love John Bones. I love it. But GSP was just amazing.
John Bones didn't test well with the pregnant women who did the survey. they weren't the biggest fans. I don't know why. But 0%. from pregnant women. Yeah, well, and he tried to kill one in his car. Remember that? There was that whole thing. Yeah.
There I was mean, that, whole thing. That was like I wasn't there, so allegedly.
Allegedly. Who knows? Who knows? Why are they out at 2 o'clock in the morning? Like, that's really the question. Like, he was, you know, he's expecting not anybody to be out at 2 o'clock. I know, I think it was in the afternoon, but still. pregnant woman walking at, like, why is she walking at 2 a.m.? You know, he's out there. Shouldn't be on the streets at 2 a.m. So I'm not trying to blame it on her. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah. What's wrong? It's not like she'd get pregnant again.
from the car hitting her? I'm so confused.
She got hit. Wait, I thought, oh.
You don't remember that?
No, I do not.
Will knows what I'm talking about.
Hit her? Like,
well, yeah.
Actually hit a chick with his car? I thought he like punched somebody in the face or something.
No, he got a DUI, dude. She didn't die or the kid. Like, they were fine, I think. But like, he was drunk. He ran from the scene and everything. I hate to be like bringing this up on John Jones, but like, yeah, like I'm teaching somebody about John Jones's biggest discretion. No, he did though. Like, well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Like, there was like that whole, he got suspended for like 2 years. Like, it was like a while. He was out of like game for a while.
Okay. I remember that now. The suspend, that reminds me. Okay. All right.
He came back too. Well, the thing is, like, it shows you that he's not a piece of shit. I'm not saying that about him, but like he came back to the scene and shit and was like that's the only reason he got caught, I think, is because he like came back because he was like, I can't do this. I gotta go back and see if she's all right. I think he got fucking caught then for coming back, and he's very remorseful about it. Like, but he was drunk, and it was like, yeah, it was like late at night, I guess, and he just like, you know, total accident, hit it. But like at the same time, it's like, fuck, man. They made him pay for it for sure. He has paid his fucking, you know, he's paid his dues though too, like for real. Like, and he wasn't like, he was totally very, he felt very bad about it clearly the whole time. And I don't think he's a piece of shit. He seems like a great guy, honestly. But like, yeah, it's a fucked up situation.
Made a bad mistake. Thing of it is, you know, even as somebody who lost the closest thing I had to a dad because of a drunk driver, I used to be very bitter about that for a long time. And the thing of it is, we have to, as humans, allow people to prove that they can get better. Because if we don't, then we're no better than the soulless animals that we claim to be over.
Yeah.
Compassion is what makes us different. And so I can't not give him the opportunity to get better. Just like with John Morant. I genuinely hope he gets better, because that's not just because it's better for the NBA, but I don't want anybody to be in that position and to be suffering like that, because a lot of people don't realize is, with everything, you know, with this being truly a mental health issue, Ja probably feels like shit for being as stupid as he's been. He probably feels bad for pulling a gun on a 17-year-old. You know, it's when, you know, sober thoughts bring up drunk remorse. Like it brings shit up, and even if he doesn't fully understand now, he's gonna. And so I just, you know, John Bones gets the chance to make it right. And it's great that he's successful in the ring again. Like he's a go, but, and Silva, I think Silva is the, I think Silva's the Kobe and the GOAT situation here. Silva deserves to like be talked about like Kobe deserves to be talked about. But at the same time, like in truth, it's John.
Realistically, you're not. Realistically, you're not. Nobody's going to go definitively. That guy's the GOAT.
Oh, yeah.
And on the bad decision thing, like with John Jones, I think he absolutely, because it makes me think about like how many bad decisions I made when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? If one of those things just ends differently, like I do something stupid and it ends in like somebody dying from it, you know, I'm judged for the rest of my life on that one bad decision that was just chance. Like, he wasn't trying to hit. It's not like he chased that pregnant lady down and hit her with his car.
Right.
He clearly just fucked up, and that could happen to anybody. So to bury this guy for all of that stuff. And there were several different situations, but he's a professional fighter. Anywhere he goes in public, I think a lot of the other ones were public kind of things, like people trying to fight him and shit. And like, so yeah. So like in a lot of different situations, like you can't really put yourself in those shoes, because there's guys trying to fight him all the time, probably in public, but like the him hitting the lady, you got to give him another shot at this, because we can't just bury him for that kind of stuff.
He's human.
Exactly. So like, yeah. So we can't just bury him for that kind of stuff. Cause yeah, if they continue to do it and like, just no remorse, there's no like trying to make it better, then yeah, we can kill him for it. But, Yeah, it's like, from what I understand, he was very yeah.
You know, it's like with Kareem Hunt, like, you know, dude did what he did, and really it was more about the fact that he lied, but he's gotten the chance to redeem himself and prove he's not a complete piece of crap. He's
that story's true, guy. Tony.
He made a mistake.
He showed more restraint than you or I would have.
Right. Well, and honestly, and especially the Tyreek Hill situation, I still believes if he had been honest from the beginning about what happened and not been just trying to cover shit up to make himself look better, he would have still be a Kansas City Chief today.
Right. And he wasn't even trying to like that much look bad. I think that he knew that that was a situation where he, yeah. Is he going to be on camera over there? And like, he pushed her down on the ground. We'll give him that. The shove was the actual thing. And he was actually shoving one guy who got in his face, who actually went into another dude who then went into her at the end of it. So like, he wasn't even trying to shove anybody like that underage girl, whatever who it was. Cause that was actually the big issue, was like, he just literally threw a dude who was bigger than him, like 6 feet, and it like bowling balled the other two people behind it.
Right.
And then he got the situation where he went over and just like, he literally puts his foot up on this chick's like shoulder basically. And just kind of like, hey, like, you know, push her down on the ground. It wasn't even like he could have killed her if he wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have fucked her up really bad.
Professional athlete. He absolutely could have killed her if he wanted.
Absolutely. Because he lifted the one dude off the ground and like literally threw him at like two other people who he didn't mean to do that. He just meant to push the one guy, and it just happens. Right. He's super strong. And it went into two other people, which he shouldn't have put himself in that situation at first. But it seems like she was the one who created that situation in the first place. So therefore, you know, you got to judge everything that happens after that by that, I guess. So,
right.
I don't know.
All right, guys, let's go ahead. Moving at a good pace here. Let's go ahead and move on over to the seventh inning stretch.
I want to be the best in the game, invest in my name, check no restraints, I'm obsessed with the pain, I ingest, I retain, assess and I change, possessed by the thought I'll be free one day from society's restraints.
All right, where in the world did, where you at?
So one of the biggest things for me today was the fact that Justin Turner in spring training got hit by a pitch today. And unfortunately, it happened to be in the face. He did leave the stadium in an ambulance. They did take him to the hospital. his wife did post an encouraging update. 16 stitches and a lot of swelling. He's home resting. No fractures and clear scans. So Justin's probably going to be out until at least the start of the year. I would assume probably through April. Give him a chance to get everything back, calm down, get the stitches out. I would say probably not going to be back till closer to the start of the season, because I forget where we really are still at the beginning of the month. I was looking at it, and it was one of those pitches that went high and inside and just got him right in the face. And like, he dropped, and then he started to kind of come up, and then you could just see him spitting blood. And I was just like, fuck.
I'll have to watch it, because I don't think we can show the video.
No. I'll send you the video. I'll say no.
Yeah. But
we'll be capping right like a muffin.
Right.
Yeah.
The important thing to note here, Will, is that, is he going to have a line shaved in his eyebrow after this? And can he really show that he is the guy who can really rock with integrity the line shaved in the eyebrows? Because, I mean, that could it kind of got up there. You know, it could have been serious. Could have been all the line shaved in the eyebrow. No.
What you got here, gang. Will? I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
What in the?
You went out of focus. Your house is taking out of focus.
Yeah.
So nice.
Crazy.
It's so nice. I mean, that other person's house that you live in is so nice.
All right. Let me see if I can fix it.
There you go.
All right. There we go. All right, guys.
How's it still light?
I know.
Right?
The
I control time.
I live in Egypt.
Also, time. Major League Baseball announced that Mike Clevenger, Chicago White Sox pitcher Mike Clevenger, will not face any discipline after allegations from a ex-girlfriend slash baby mama of some violent behavior and an allegation including him dumping tobacco spit onto the child. A statement immediately after the allegations went public from Clevenger's attorney said that the individual has made false claims before, and the MLB did an investigation, determined no punishment.
Well, this sounds a lot like Crazy Baby Mama, is what it sounds.
That's
like.
What saying,
from what I've read, it's, what I've read about it,
and that's the thing is like. There's they the and the MLB in their statement, they said they interviewed both Clevenger and the baby mama. So they know how cray cray she is.
You know what sounds like, you know what, and when it says dumped the chew spit on the baby, you know what that sounds like a lot to me? That sounds like what happened is a chew spit got dumped over while that kid was on the floor and some of it got on the kid. Okay. And not what we immediately picture when we think of dumping chew spit on an infant. It's literally like holding said infant and dumping your chew spit on top of its face. Like that's what that sounds like, right? Is right, really it doesn't right off the bat. You're just like, yeah, obviously he just dumped it on it because he's a fucking monster. Like what it sounds like is he got in some form of altercation probably between those two. It got fucking thrown across the room and and spilled on. That's what it sounds like to me. Is what happened. Right. But that's the worst thing.
And also, I will be sharing on the Sports Report Facebook page here after the show. But Shohei Ohtani, in an exhibition game for the World Baseball Classic today, hit a 420-foot home run on one knee.
And where's Stephen A. Smith at?
What do you mean on one knee?
Like he was
like he went down and got it? Like,
yeah, he went down and got it. Was on one knee and sent it 420.
Right.
Picture of him watching the ball launch still on one knee.
Very, very Vlad Guerrero of him. It's very, very Vlad Guerrero. Very, very, very Vlad Guerrero senior.
Senior.
The much better defensive player. The much better defensive player than his son, goodness. Who apparently is a gold glove American League first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, completely better than Anthony Rizzo. I would take Vlad Jr. over Anthony Rizzo at first base 100 times out of 100.
Because definitely the reason that the Blue Jays play Vlad Guerrero Jr. is because of his defense. There's nothing on the offensive side of the ball that would tell them to definitely play Vlad Guerrero Jr.
No,
it's all defense for that guy. You know, he's a gold glover. It's what he's about. And he dives at balls that other guys would just walk up to. So that's really what's going on here. he had a lot of diving plays. All right. He dove a lot for balls that he should have just been able to like run to is the thing. I'm sure it looks good, you know, when you dive at everything. But, that's very Vlad Guerrero of him, though, for real, because Vlad Guerrero used to hit balls off the fucking ground and shit, like Vlad Guerrero Sr., the bouncing balls. Right. Great bad ball hitter.
And then I wanted to look at one other thing. The Red Sox did win today.
What are you going
to
say?
Red Sox did.
Did you hear that, Will? Did you see that happen?
Look good today. They did win the game, even though Justin Turner got hit. Chris Sale looked really good. I don't give a fuck about the New York Yankees, so we're not going to.
He had already touched on the Yankees. He already touched on the Red Sox. He already touched on the Red Sox because Justin Turner thing, right? So he needed that. That was the thing that was going to come off the top.
It was big news. I mean, somebody getting a 98 mile an hour pitch to the face is kind of big fucking news, my friend. I'm just saying.
I mean.
That's
a lot of tell in the future for the Red Sox. It's going to be 98 mile an hour fastballs to the face for
quite
a while with that franchise.
My goodness.
He's already got his wife locked up too, Justin Turner. I don't feel bad for him at all. This is how much I feel bad for Justin Turner. Like, yes, 16 stitches, his face is going to hurt, all right? Yeah. But he gets to, you know, he'll be okay. He's got plenty of good. Right. That's terrible. Shoot. Giancarlo was fine. All right.
I do. Okay, good. Okay. All right. Anything else, Evan?
Hold on. Let's see. How are the Yankees doing in spring training? Let's see what their record is.
Really good. Very well, actually.
7-4. So meh.
Anthony Volpe hit cleanup today, went 4 for 5. No, sorry, 3 for 5. Was on base 4 times.
Not bad.
The number two recruit, or number, sorry, number one prospect, number five overall in Major League Baseball. He's going to be a starter this year.
It's great that the Yankees are 7-4 in spring training, but the Royals are 10-2. So,
you know, makes a lot of sense with backup players playing. The Royals are going to win the World Series with backup players.
The
World Series of AAA is the Royals every year. Bro. They're getting in there. They stopped playing their. They went up 9-0 today. The Yankees went up 9-0 with their starters in. Stopped playing their starters in the fourth inning and in the point of it still.
9-2. Like, yeah. Oh,
yeah, it was all starters, but yeah.
All right, you guys.
Good time to be a Yankees fan.
We know you're a Yankees fan.
Always is. Now, it's a good time to be a Yankees fan.
We know.
It's great. It's always great.
We know.
Grass is always green here.
All right, let's go around the room real quick, get final thoughts, and get on out of here for the night. Who wants to go first?
You will.
Man, listen. That whole thing with Russell Westbrook with the Clippers. He just got his first win as a starter with the Clips. Just got it. So I don't know if they make the. I don't know. They're in the seventh seed right now. I don't know if they made. I don't even know if they made that playing spot. They keep derailing like that. No put Terrence Mann back in there, and let Russ come off the bench.
Kawhi will play enough. Kawhi will play enough voluntarily here in the last couple of weeks to let him get in the playoffs. He will. Last month.
It's
just enough to get him in at that 10 spot, and then he'll probably load manage for the first 3 games of the first round or something like that. So so they're just gonna be like, oh, and he'll come back like they're down like, you know, 1-2, and he'll be like, oh, not my fault. We were already down. My guy, like, right. You could have played the first 3 games. He's like, no, it's a hammy.
No, man, it's hammy.
It's a hammy. The claw had a hammy.
Damn.
You know, I hope John Morant gets the help he needs legitimately. And I also hope that Aaron Judge does really well for the Giants this year. And I hope he absolutely owns the Yankees on opening day.
Aaron Judge hit a 3-run homer tonight. Regardless of he plays for the Giants or the Yankees, he had a 3-run homer tonight.
Regardless,
we're happy to still have the captain. The old captain. Man. I'm gonna start calling the captain so if I can hold on. Final thoughts.
Your final thoughts. You have a look. You have
to get something really serious here, guys. Got some really serious, and that is the men with lines shaved in their eyebrows need to come together here and be behind John Morant for all men with lines down the middle of their eyebrows, because he's one of us, guys. All right, so we need to embrace him as a.
Wait a minute, did you just say one guy of us?
Jaw's one of us. One of the guys with lines shaped in their eyebrows. It's a very underground group that I wouldn't expect you to know anything about, Will. Okay, because you don't have lines shaving your eyebrows. Okay, it's a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing that needs to be addressed, and I'm addressing it now. And we're saying that line shaving your eyebrows is men. We're coming together for Ja Morant. Ja, come on the show. We will both have our.
Did you mute him?
Not even playing to the fact. See, I didn't even unmute myself. I just let it happen. Just let it happen. Because
oh my goodness, all right,
Will doesn't understand.
I'm sorry, Dan.
It's all right,
I'm terrible.
That's my final thought.
It's Will's just distracted by all the Asian women, touch.
Actually, I been in the emergency room all day, that's why I'm distracted. Been in the emergency room all day. I got there at 10 in the morning, I didn't leave till like 5:30.
Did your gigantic balls fall out of the wheelbarrow again? Or what happened?
It was a left nut contusion.
I've been having some back issues that I didn't know what the hell it was.
Because of carrying those balls around.
I didn't know what the hell it was, but now I have a better idea. But it took all day at that place to get to this point. Ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you're there for 7 hours, like waiting in the waiting room.
Hey, huh?
Pretty much, you were like there for like most of that was waiting in the waiting room, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have a company literally trying to come after me for $7,000. Or no, sorry, it's only 700. But all I did was wait in the waiting room of emergency room. I didn't actually get checked in or anything. I just like took my name down and was like and waited there for 3 hours, three, 4 hours, and then there.
I'm disputing that, John.
The fuck? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Disputed it like 31 times. Still not happening. Oh, like, I didn't get treated by anybody. Like, oh, well, our time in the waiting room is very valuable. I'm like, I guess it is. Jesus. Oh, yeah. Like, I just sat in a chair. It wasn't even that good of a chair. It wasn't a $700 chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the bills, man. The bills for what you just had to do.
There it is.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I found it, guys. If there's nothing else, thank you for you guys coming tonight. Thank you for everybody out there at TV Land. We do appreciate you. I'll be more on my game next week when I actually had some freaking doggone sleep. For everybody here at the Sports Report, I want to say thank you guys. And we'll see you guys again here next week. Same back time, same back channel. Everyone have a good week and take care.
Well, shaving a line in your eyebrows will help you be ready next week. But I just slide right by that energy. Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never ran sitting on